There are three primary roles that instructional leaders can play in feedback conversations with teachers. And I find that perhaps because of training and perhaps because of our own preferences, often we default to a coaching role. And certainly instructional coaching is a big aspect of instructional leadership, but there are two other roles that we need to keep in mind because the situation may call upon us to play one of these two roles. And if we choose the wrong role in a feedback conversation with a teacher, we miss the opportunity that's before us to actually change that teacher's practice. So let's jump right in. The three roles that we're going to talk about in this section are the boss, the coach, and the leader. And the first is probably the one that we prefer the least, right? We don't love to play the boss, but sometimes we need to. If we have someone who knows what they need to do and simply is not doing it, or perhaps there has been a coaching conversation, the person has made a commitment to change their practice, and now they just need to follow through. And further coaching will not replace the fact or will not substitute for the fact that they need to just go ahead and do what they have already decided to do through those previous coaching conversations. So sometimes we have to be the heavy. And if you are in an administrative role, sometimes your coaches will be looking to you to go in and have those accountability conversations and say, you know what, we've talked about this, you know what to do, we've built the skills, we've provided the resources, now you have to actually act differently. You have to change your practice. So this is what we call the boss role, and the type of feedback that we're delivering in the boss role is directive feedback. We're saying, you need to do this. We've talked about this. You understand it. Now it is the time for action. And this is truly where we hold people accountable. If you have ever tried to skip this role, if you've tried to say, well, I'm just going to be a coach. I want to be collaborative. I don't want to be the heavy. Eventually, you're going to run into someone, and you've probably experienced this, who loves the coaching relationship but does not love the boss role. Because the coaching role, the coaching mindset that we approach that conversation with allows the other person to escape accountability. So if you have someone who's doing that, if you find that they are avoiding accountability, it may be time to play the coach role and you say what and say, you know what, this is not advice at this point. This is a directive. This is what I need to see you doing. Do not be afraid to put on that boss hat when you need to and get people to actually follow through on a change. The second role that we're going to look at today is, of course, the coach role. And this is where we want to be in most of our feedback conversations with most teachers most of the time, right? 80% of the time, I would prefer to be the coach and to be a collaborator with the teacher, to have an evidence-based conversation about the teacher's practice where they do most of the thinking. As Charlotte Danielson says, teaching is intellectual work, and it's work that we cannot do for teachers. You know, the work of reflecting on practice and improving practice is mostly teachers' work. So most of the time, we want to be wearing that coaching hat and giving reflective feedback, right? Saying, here's what I saw. Tell me about what, you know, what you thought about that and what you might want to do differently. We have, you know, different coaching approaches that we use to get the teacher thinking and talking. But our goal there is not for ourselves to be the source of the ideas for change, right? We want to be a partner, and we want most of the decisions and the thinking to really come from the teacher when we're wearing the coaching hat. And certainly a lot of what we're talking about in this program is around some of those coaching conversations. But there's one more role that we need to consider, and that's especially relevant in cycles of one-to-one conversations that don't involve feedback on direct observation, right? So we've been talking about how important it is when you can't get into classrooms to pick up the phone and call people so that you stay in touch with them, so you maintain that relationship, and so that they continue to provide you with the information you need to do your job. In that kind of situation, we may be especially called upon to play the third role, which also applies to face-to-face feedback conversations, but especially when you're not able to observe, and that is the leader role. In the leader role, you're not trying to necessarily change the teacher. You're trying to listen and be make that a two-way street. So we call this type of feedback in the leader role reflexive feedback. And the idea of reflexivity is the idea that this goes both directions. It's a two-way street. So I might give feedback to the teacher. The teacher may also give feedback to me, especially about the conditions under which they're working. Let me give an example of reflexive feedback. One time I was talking with our primary teachers about a new curriculum that they had been asked to use. It was a district requirement. The materials had been provided, the training had been provided, and yet making time in the day for it was proving to be a real struggle. And I was there in that conversation to problem solve and to help teachers figure out how they could fit this conversation in. But what we kept coming back to was that recess was just at a terrible time for this particular team. It was just right in the middle of an instructional block. It really disrupted the flow and made it difficult for them to get through the lessons in the new curriculum. And of course, they could have tried harder. They could have divided it up differently. They could have been creative. But I realized in that conversation, and they weren't complaining, they were just telling me what was really going on, I realized that the best solution that would best support teachers in succeeding with that curriculum was to actually move their recess by a few minutes. So what we ended up doing was partnering that team with a different grade level that they didn't normally go to recess with. This was kindergarten. And we moved their recess so that they could go out with fifth grade. And they happened to have buddy classes. So the teacher said, hey, that actually works really well because they will love to be out there with their buddies. And, you know, the kids play differently. They're not going to get in each other's ways. So it actually turned out to be a great solution that didn't really require the teachers to change anything. It required the circumstances to change. And that is often one of our biggest contributions that we can make as instructional leaders. As you may recall, our definition of instructional leadership at the Principal Center is the practice of making operational and improvement decisions in the service of student learning, both making and implementing those decisions. So the leader role is where we truly have an opportunity to do that in a way that supports teachers and allows the conditions to be more supportive of the work that teachers are doing. So again, in a lot of our one-to-one conversations where we're not observing, that's the primary role that we're going to play. We may, of course, also need to play the coach role when we are engaging in some sort of a feedback about practice that we observed. And sometimes we need to play the boss role, especially when we're following up on something that we've talked about previously. When you are engaging in these feedback conversations, it's essential, of course, to ask good questions. And later in this module, we'll look at some questions that you can use to refer to specific evidence. And in the next module, we'll be looking at instructional frameworks. And we'll talk about how to pull instructional frameworks into those conversations so that you're using a common vocabulary, you're taking advantage of that vocabulary, and you're building everyone's familiarity with that vocabulary. And as you'll see, as we get into some specific questions, the goal of these conversations really is to get the other person talking. We've talked a little bit about preparing your agenda and being sure to ask certain things, you know, convey certain information, gather certain information, build that relationship. But for the most part, in these conversations, we want the other person to be doing the talking. So with that, you can move to your journal and answer these two reflective questions. First, which teachers in your school most often put you in the position of needing to play the boss and give directive feedback to change behavior? And second, in what situations, like the example I gave, have you played the leader and changed something other than the teacher? Maybe changed the circumstances under which teachers were working. Do some reflection on those questions in your journal, and when you've done that, you're ready to move on to the next section.